Stay home and chill, keeping you company during the coronavirus.
Yo, this is Michael Payne, and I host the Michael and Marcel Show on FUBAR Radio every Wednesday from 4 till 6 p.m. Thanks for staying at home. The only thing we want you to catch is a vibe. You're listening to Stay Home and Chill on FUBAR Radio, keeping you company through the coronavirus.
Back row and chill on FUBAR Radio.
We had just had the quickest turnaround ever to get a guest on the show.
Trust me, the guy is just coming. His heels are burning. There's still smoke coming off the back of his trainers. He skidded through. He crashed and bowled into the green room. And he's here on
well
FUBAR
done.
Right
Chris
now. Well
Ham,
done,
you're live
kid.
On the radio. Well done for sweating. Making it in, mate. You're sweating.
Dripping wet.
No. Yeah. I often have that effect on people's.
Yeah. Background Chills, it's a film and entertainment show. We cover everything entertainment wise, so whatever yes. is entertaining people. So, people who don't know who you are, Kristen Hamby is a Facebook, YouTuber, social media entertainer.
Entertainer.
You entertain people.
And you've just come off the plane, right? That's why you're running
that's
a bit late.
That's why you're late. You're off the plane. Yeah,
where was you?
Jersey.
Jersey where?
Channel Islands. It's a little island. It's close to France. It's a small little island.
So I thought you was in like New Jersey, New York.
Nah,
so you was round the corner, you could have run, and you come late.
New Jersey's the fake Jersey.
Next time, walk. Yeah? Okay, that's round the corner. I thought you was like proper farming. Right, we'll have words after.
We're going to have words.
How did you start? Was it an accident or was it like a pre-planned?
No, I've always been known for being an idiot, like just being the idiot of the group and that. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to fuck my mum one day. Not like, yeah, I could have worded that a bit better. Yeah, I could
have. You motherfucker.
I could have worded that a bit better, you know.
Go on, no, it's cool. I got you.
So basically, I don't know if you've ever seen that prank where people just fill a bottle of water up, tell your mum to look at you and just fucking soak her face. That's
so
how it started.
You threw water on your mum?
Literally, I covered my mum in water, basically. Literally. And then I put it on my little personal Facebook page and it kind of went a bit okay.
Right.
And I thought, oh, I'm onto something here. People want more, and then I ended up starting throwing dildos at my nan.
Oh yeah. My god!
Yeah.
Your family loves you.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, start like throwing my sister in bushes. Yeah, that's the type of.
You throw shit at people.
He's
yeah.
the black
people.
Sheep of the family. Can I just say, like, you terrorize your family, yeah? Do your family actually like you in real life?
My nan does, but I found out the other day, my sister said to me, my family had a meet-up the other day, and they were just bitching about me. My whole family, I'm telling the truth
right now. Do you think
they're
doing an intervention?
Like, well, they were just saying they're worried for me, they just hate me, but my nan apparently was the only one that stuck up for me. So I only like my nan now.
Do you know,
what,
yeah, bro, I'll adopt you, innit, yeah? Like, I've always thought, like, when I get older, yeah, like, I want to adopt a little white boy, innit, yeah? So you can be my son, bro. You can sleep underneath my trailer cupboard.
I think... What your family needs to realise is that actually, if you get with the times, and what is entertaining for the majority of the youth nowadays, and it is prank, there's a huge prank sort of like wave going on right now.
There is.
It's one of the most entertaining, one of the most viewed things on the internet is to prank. I mean, but I was up for a prank younger, but now they go extreme.
Yeah, but what worries me is how far is too far? Because sometimes I think...
Death is literally... If you don't die, it's all cool. Do you know what I'm saying?
Are you like, sure?
Death
is, that what
is
you're saying?
Literally where it kind of goes over.
But do you know what? Do you think, like, but look how this has had an effect on your family. Do you not think that you could maybe do something for them? Because essentially, they have helped you get popular.
Oh, for sure.
Right?
For sure,
so
yeah.
You owe them something. Do you not feel you owe them something? Have you could not take them on an outing? Could you not take, instead of throwing a dildo at your mum, maybe go to take us a park and play catch?
They don't trust going out the house of me, so it's kind of a hard situation.
Well, you need to do something where maybe you're not even at the event or whatever. You do something. But you need to think about this and repair your family relationship. If not, I will adopt you. Look, I've got the papers right here.
Yeah, I'll sign them. Right now.
I heard about it.
I will sign them right now.
Sign them. But all I said, you prank me, I'm a break you with a belt.
Now you're going to get whipped with dildos and all sorts of
you get whipped right back with a belt. Okay, we'll talk about the adoption papers later. Go on.
It sounds like a kinky family.
Yeah,
So how long have you been online? Is it something that happened just like kind of overnight, or have you been building it?
January the 6th of last year.
So a year.
The exact date.
A year.
Shut up.
January
only last year.
January the 6th last year.
But I'm just sorry. This dildo thing is playing in my mind. You can't beat your family member with a dildo, bro. Do you not feel the slightest bit bad?
No, I think it's funny, man.
Was it your dildo?
I ordered it for my first ever video, okay? I'm going to tell you this, okay? Hey, it's been used, yeah? It's not me. Not on me, I'm...
So you chucked a used to it?
Yes!
Oh, my God,
No! I bought it for my first ever video. And it wasn't
Porn video?
It wasn't even a prank video. It was some little, like...
Porno.
Yeah. Nah, it was some little 20-second joke video. That went on, like, Lab Bible and stuff. It went pretty big. And that's when I kind of thought, you know, I'm going to keep using this dildo. It got used in more ways than one. And,
oh, good.
It's a multi-tool.
The girls want to meet you. But can you bring the dildo? You need to get dildo t-shirts, man. You could start a band. You know what? Yeah, that singer, Honey, or whatever her name is, Lolly, or whatever. No. She's a Housewives of Atlanta. She was a singer. Songwriter, but she also has her own sex company. This is how she then made her money, because not from songwriting, but from selling sex toys and stuff like that. So there's money in sex toys.
You know, when you adopt me, you know.
If people want to see all these weird videos, where should they go?
My Facebook page is Kristen Hanby.
Maybe spell your first name, because I did call you Christian for a while. So Kristen.
KRISTEN. Handy, HANBY.
How many views have you got on there?
What would you say? I've got quite a few.
You got a couple mil?
Got a couple hundred million, I'd say, on my page.
100 million?
I would say.
Amazing. Wow. Are you going to come back?
I'm going to come back.
Well, we're going to invite
please
you back.
Come back. Can you bring the dildo?
Ian Boldsworth on Free Bar Radio.
We're joined now by Will Attenborough.
Hello.
Can I say you're right?
Yeah,
I don't know why I went to clap.
Why?
It's just a nice thing to do, right, Will?
I've
never done that before in this show.
You can, but that's a bit of a weird thing to do, isn't it?
Why aren't you clapping?
Barry didn't clap either.
Sorry.
No. That smell, by the way, is Barry.
Sort of smells like biscuits.
Biscuits?
Yeah.
Maybe somebody put some biscuits down the toilet as well. So, last time I spoke to you, Will, I got in a bit of bother with my parents.
Why?
My mum told me off.
I think we know why. Well, we know what you were asked. We know what you were asked.
For being disrespectful. Yeah. And what it was, right, is I said to my mum, no, I was gauging it in the room at the time, and I decided in the room it was all right.
Yeah.
I thought it was okay. We were getting on, we were having a laugh and stuff. So I was inappropriate about your family.
Barry won't know this. What did you ask, Will?
Which one would I kill?
Yeah,
Did I say which one you'd kill?
You said David or Richard. Which one would you kill?
I think
the Attenboroughs.
Didn't I say? And forgive me if I got this wrong. I don't want to reopen old wounds.
Right. No, it's fine.
Richard was away at that point, wasn't he?
Yes.
He was
already away, wasn't he?
He's away!
That's a nice way of saying it.
Tenerife or something.
I think that's what I say. When someone dies, I say they're away.
They're away.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
You've been away for a while, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's fine. No, that's fine. It's not fine. I don't mean that.
Sorry, Will.
I remember it as saying, which would you have preferred if you had to choose one to have died first?
Did I add, which would I kill?
You
I think you did,
actually,
yeah.
You did say.
I think you were the one that brought violence into it. So, yeah, my mum said, that was awful what you said to that lad. Was he not upset?
Does your mum listen to every episode that you do?
Very rarely.
Oh, she just tuned in for the.
Especially for you,
horror.
I think.
Watch this. Mum, text me now and I'll give you £100. She won't. that 100 quid is safe. Text me now. If it's now Monday between 4 and 6 and you text me saying banana, I will give you £100.
You could tell her anything then. You could tell her all the stuff that you've not said. You know,
like what?
Well, I don't know. Whatever's going on in your heart that you've not said to your mum before.
Nothing's springing to mind.
Okay. Well, good. You've got a very healthy relationship. Though.
Is that what it is?
I just think
you mean like secrets and stuff.
Yeah, because if she's not listening, then you're free. And if she is listening, then at least she supports you as a mother.
Do you think we're just hanging out? You know that this goes out. You know that there are people who can tell her. Oh, sorry, Will. This is you might misunderstand. This is a radio show. What we're doing here at the moment. But I thought with your background, you'd have a bit of understanding about that sort of thing, and you wonder why you're the runt of the litter. So, what's been happening with you since last we met?
Made a movie.
Oh, so did I.
Oh, you've made it. I remember you talking about this.
Yeah.
Is it last time I spoke to you? Remind me what it's about. Is it a horror? Sort of.
It has moments. It does, it has moments.
Okay.
It has moments, so it's funny.
It's called The Parapod.
Yeah, so it's me and Barry essentially discussing the existence of ghosts, if they're real or not, and I don't believe in them, and Barry does.
Oh, do you? Oh, I've heard about you, Barry.
You just had the same reaction I had with you when I worked out who you were. It's a bit, you're a bit more impressive because, you know, the Jurassic Park fella, whereas
no,
I'm
that's
just...
No, that's not him.
Wow. No, Richard.
Sir
which
Richard.
Which one was in Jurassic Park?
Well, it's Richard. Richard.
Was that Richard? Yeah.
Right, never tell him. Always make him work it out.
Pennies drop for me, though.
Quite regularly, when I'm discussing them, often the movie is, with people... In the comedy industry, there will be a penny drop moment where they go, oh, I've heard about him. It happened with Vegas, when I went to Vegas
really?
About the film. And he went, hang on, is he mates with Jason Cook? And I went, yeah. And he went, oh, God, I've heard so many stories about him.
Oh, right.
No, but like just the normal stories.
Yeah.
So what's your film about, Will?
You've got to do this interview at some point.
Can I say one thing about Undercover Police?
Yeah.
Depends,
is it libelous?
Well, I guess we'll see.
Okay.
You can cut this out, right?
Hold on, I'm getting a pen ready.
I don't want the hassle of it, but go on.
I prefer not to, Will, if I'm honest, but go on, continue.
I had a couple of friends who were arrested in that Occupy thing. Do you remember that?
Okay. Yeah.
We went to, like, their court...
It's not funny, that's not funny.
Sorry, no.
Don't laugh at that.
We went to their...
It's not clever, that.
...court hearing thing, and then we went to the pub afterwards, and there was...
Oh, it's a big, good, nice day out for you all, isn't it?
But it's really interesting, because the mix of people you get those sorts of things are, like, posh people like me, who are sort of well-meaning and very earnest, and, like, people who are sort of punky. And there was one guy who was neither of those things, who was, like, in his 40s with dad jeans and, like, a sort of sweater vest that I could tell that he thought was, like, this is what people wear to sort of be warm in the cold.
Yeah.
And he was, like, sort of, yeah, so how long have you been involved in this? And everyone was sort of like, have you ever seen you before? And he was like, yeah, no, I think I joined after you guys.
Was there, like, a wire hanging down the back of his jeans as well? You're like, oh, yeah, that's me, hands free. And did you just start rumbling straight away?
Well, he eventually left, and I was completely ignorant. Everyone was like, it was a policeman.
Yeah.
Right.
Almost certainly.
Why? Why do they care about a bunch of students being, you know...
Well, because you all think it's funny to get arrested, because you're all going out causing trouble.
And doing
a wee on a statue.
Yeah. That wasn't you, though, Will.
I didn't read the full article, but something like that.
That's what happened. But I don't think that was Will. Will, have you done a wee on a statue?
Never.
Good. Just checking.
Somebody clip that. Somebody clip that and use it as a trailer. Ian Bowles with the People Radio. Nah. Have you ever done a wee on a statue?
No.
Mondays, 4 to 6.
My best friend got fingered for the first time on a statue.
Tell us more, Will. How big was the statue?
That's not the question.
Okay, all right.
What is the question?
That's not the follow-up question, how big was the statue?
I'm just trying to work out. Were they both on the statue?
Come on, let's say the story.
I think they were just sort of leaning up against it.
What's the full name, first of all?
No.
Well, actually, this is quite a good segue into the actual... We'll see if it ever gets out, if it ever gets put out there. But I'm making a podcast at the moment about sex.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, like...
I thought you were about to tell me it was Nicole Kidman. That's who's in your film.
Yeah, right.
Oh, actually, good segue. It was Nicole Kidman. Against the Winston Churchill statue. It's an exclusive for you.
I hope it doesn't get out.
An interesting point, her accent gets stronger.
Tell us about your podcast, then, Will. It's about sex.
Yeah, it's called Honesty Is My Hot Hot Sex.
It's called what, sorry?
Honesty Is My Hot Hot Sex.
Right. That's nice. A bit too long for a podcast, right?
Do you think too long?
Yeah, I reckon, yeah.
I think that makes it stand out. My Dad Wrote a Porno, that did well.
That's true.
Yeah.
The Ian Boldsworth Show.
What?
Ian Boldsworth, that's five
podcast,
syllables.
Though.
Radio show.
It comes out as a podcast.
But yeah, but it's not like the Parapod.
The Parapod.
Made as a...
Movie. podcast, movie.
This is, I'm trailing it too early because we
haven't
made it
out
yet.
Who's it with?
Have you made it? Have you recorded one?
Who is
Loads
it? You and who?
It's me, my friend Ellen, who is...
DeGeneres.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Who's very famous.
It's very famous. Yeah, I love that. That could only happen from a showbiz family, which at some point when you were three, some granddad's gone, just go with it. No matter what we do, just go with it.
Okay. It's you and your mate Ellen.
And
yours
friend,
had the ear stud.
That's why I've not put the headphone on, because it's
showing off. In case we didn't see it.
See this, guys? I'm quite edgy.
That's often why, why I do the show on Bussin.
It's just for fun.
People generally don't tend to pierce themselves for a part.
There's
ways of doing that without the actual piercing. Right. If it's just going to be for like a couple of hours a day.
Will, would you get pierced for a part?
Anything.
Yeah, there we go. Would it? It
now, this part requires a tattoo. Oh, go and have it. So your podcast.
Well, so we were talking
about... Can't even remember what it's called.
Honesty is My Hot, Hot Sex.
Yes, Natalie.
Have you got it written down in front of you there?
No, I just remembered it.
We could change it. The alternative name was...
song title, isn't it? You've got it for CSS. Music is My Hot Sex. There we go. Just change the title. Yeah, my finger is on... Thank you, Will. My finger is on the pulse. Thank you.
I don't know what either of you just said.
He's borrowed it from a CSS song title, which is Music is My Hot, Hot Sex, and he's gone, Honesty is My Hot, Hot Sex.
I'm not in tune with that sort of thing. Okay, so that's... but then I stand corrected, if that's what all the kids are saying.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Like, let's have a genuine, proper, serious discussion about this.
Go on.
Because I recently... In fact, I don't know if we discussed it on air or not, whether it was off air or not. I used to show on this station years back that was about sex. Mm. With Angela Barnes. Me and Angela Barnes did a show called Barnes and Peacock Do Sex when I was Ray Peacock. And I think it might have been on air when I said to you, do you remember the details around why that show came to be?
No.
Because I don't
know. I don't know either. I just remember meeting you and Angela one day, like, we'd like to do a show about sex, and I was like, yeah, okay. But I don't remember how...
I wouldn't do that show now.
No.
Why not?
For myself personally, it's not because I don't think that show should exist. I remember it being very, very good.
It was a very good show. You were both extremely honest. Yeah.
But I don't think I would do it now. I don't think I would be that honest about my personal life now.
It's a thing, isn't it? You want to have your boundaries up. But...
Yeah, but I don't recall why I did. So why I did it. I think it's quite interesting why you would... Because it's a private thing, essentially. Mm. But also, I'm all for people talking about things that, due to their privacy, become kind of encumbered, I guess, by too much secrecy, so nobody really knows what's going on. And then that's how rumour things start, and that's how people get the wrong idea about things. So I'm all for people speaking honestly. It's the desire to speak honestly that I find interesting, and where that comes from, what the reasoning is behind it.
I think, for me, I started doing The Moth. Do you know The Moth? The Moth Radio Hour, but also live show. They do them in New York, the States, and it's like true stories, you know, told live.
Okay,
I'm actually the London champion of The Moth.
Oh,
the champion.
How did you become the champion?
You just tell the best stories.
Yeah, just mention your family. And the champion, you just go, oh, tell you what, if I ever won this award, I wonder if any of my family would come. Some of my family would probably come to this award ceremony, wouldn't they, if I won it.
Well, so I started doing The Moth, and the stories that I wanted to tell just naturally were like, because like sex has been really difficult in my life, I've had a lot of shame and sort of weird experiences.
Is it too big a story?
No, it's fine.
Okay.
Well, I guess I'd say I'm queer.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
So sort of like, I had a girlfriend, came out as gay, but then kind of realised it's a bit more complicated than that. Yeah, and I started telling these stories, which I think are inherently quite entertaining, somebody's sex stories.
Okay.
But also, it was a really freeing thing for me to be vulnerable about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I think for other people, because they go, oh, he's just said that thing that, you know, I'd like to be able to say. And what I feel at the moment is that we're sort of in this weird position socially of trying to be like nice, kind people day to day and respectful and, you know, pluralistic, etc., etc. But in the bedroom, you might want to tie someone up and spank them or get choked.
Yeah, I hear
you. You might do.
You might do. Well.
You might not. Yeah. But my feeling is it doesn't make you a bad person, and sexual appetite doesn't necessarily line up with who you are day to day.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of us are kind of really scared that, oh, God, I think about this thing, and that makes me weird.
Yeah.
And for me, that's the impetus to just be honest and open and, like, have a laugh about it.
How long have you been out for?
7 years.
Because I think you have a different aura about you. I'm not one for auras, I don't believe in all that sort of shit, but I think you have a different feel about you today than you did the last time you were in the studio.
Interesting.
I think so. Well, he didn't realise he was coming in to see us, did he? He thought it was a different show. That's what he said before he...
Is that right? Oh, yeah, today, yeah.
And he went, I'm relieved, so, you know, it was us. So, like, maybe that's it. Maybe
you thought you were coming in a different show.
Yeah.
No, that's why I wonder if you would had come out in between those shows or not. Mm. But if it's 7 years, that's not... It's not been 7 years since
last although, week. To say... So, I hope this doesn't sound too pretentious. I think it is...
I bet it will.
Have you heard of the Attenborough family?
Have you seen Jurassic Park? Right, you know that bloke in that? Right, what? Do I know him? Yeah, just a bit.
No, I think it's a process, isn't it, of growing up and settling into yourself.
Yeah, yeah. How old are you now?
27.
Okay. I don't think your age necessarily correlates with that, but I think it's quite interesting to sort of see when people hit that level of self-acceptance. Mm. I think that's a huge deal. And it's not always tied into sexuality either. You know, no. It doesn't have to be. It could be tied into any element of your life, or just getting who you are, or getting a better grasp of who you are, and making peace with that, and going, right, how do I live my best life? Again, fucking cliche alert, but how do I live my best life with the tools I have, with who I am, what's right for me? Which is why it's always interesting, I think, in comedy. It's always interesting when you have a wealth of comedians with the same goal. They're all like, no, I want to do this and this and this. And you never stop to think, why?
Yeah.
And you sort of go, what? Well, why do you want to be on television? Good, be on telly, but why?
Yeah.
And if they can't answer that in a proper, credible way, in terms of artistically credible way, which I think is very important regardless of what career path you follow, then it's probably not the right thing to be aiming at. There are better things to aim at that would be better for you personally. So I think that does get tied in with sexuality, certainly, because I think if people aren't, not sated, but if people aren't cool with who they are sexually, there will always be issues.
Sure.
Mm. And that's not to force anyone into declaring what they are, or you know, or what their preferences or whatever. Something as fundamental as that, if that's being subjugated in some way, you can never really just be. So I do, again, I wasn't challenging you on it. I was actually just wondering why. That was the thing.
Joey Page on FUBAR Radio.
Now it's time to welcome to the show someone that I'm very, very excited to speak to. It's time to welcome Vito from, amongst other things, The Rapture into the studio. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm really good, thank you. So let's start here, actually, because we were just talking about it. You're here with another band that you're in called Poolside.
Right.
And so what's your schedule like while you're here? How long have you been here? How long are you staying for?
So I'm wrapping up a month-long European tour. And
cool.
We played Omira, I think it's called.
Oh, yeah.
So we played a show there last night. And
oh,
we're
cool.
Playing.
It's a great venue.
Yeah,
right?
It was really cool. Yeah, tiny, but like super well done for that size.
Yeah, yeah.
Really fun show. And we're opening for this band, Tycho. So we're playing with them at Printworks tomorrow.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Yeah. So, and that's it. And then I fly the next day to San Diego and start some Rapture shows. So,
yeah. Lovely. Yeah. And so, where else did you go in Europe?
We started in Oslo and went through Scandinavia and,
beautiful.
Germany and swung through France, Belgium. And we were supposed to do Northern Italy, but the coronavirus got that canceled. So, we had 5 days off in Barcelona, which was
great. Yeah, right.
And then, flew up here. So.
It's nice to hear some positive stories about the coronavirus.
Yeah, I know. I feel it's like, it worked out well for us. I mean,
I've seen, especially in the last week, some mad things. Like, I saw someone in gloves.
Right.
Like, plastic gloves.
Yeah.
But then they're, like, touching their face. It's like, well, what's the point? You're the point. Your hands.
Yeah, I know.
And then I saw somebody wearing one of these masks take it off to have a chat with someone.
Yes, put it back on.
What are you doing?
I know. I heard the U.S. is... See, I haven't been back, but I heard it's really crazy there right now.
I didn't find that.
That's
maybe,
good.
Maybe
okay,
in the
yeah.
last week, but it's like...
Yeah.
I mean, as I was just saying to you, I was just in San Francisco where they've even had a confirmed case, and it's like...
Right.
They didn't screen anybody on or off the plane either.
We were afraid we were going to get quarantined. And in New York, I guess they've like sold out of hand sanitizer. And
they have everywhere. I think. Yeah. I should have bought some shares in hand sanitizer.
Exactly,
that's the only thing I've worked out from this.
I know.
But so. Let's talk a little bit about the reunion.
Yeah, yeah.
The at some points looked very unlikely reunion of The Rapture. So
yeah.
Rather than me kind of like misconstruing anything, I don't think that's a real word.
Yeah.
Tell us about like what happened. How comes you guys stopped making stuff? What's brought you back together?
So I mean, a lot of it's typical band dynamic stuff. So we stopped after the last album cycle. So like early 2011, I think 2012. And we all just took a break. We went on indefinite hiatus, with air quotes. And I don't think any of us knew if it would ever happen again. But we started talking again a couple years ago, and we kept on getting offers, and then we got a few shows, and, you know, we're just like, well, let's give it a shot. So, you know, it's not, honestly, it's very much how we always operate, which is probably not the most business savvy, but, you know, we were like, well, let's play some shows and see how it goes. And so we did that, and it went well. The shows were really fun. It felt great to play live again. I think that's, you know, we came out of a scene where being a live band was the most important thing.
Right, yeah.
So that's always been the focus. So if it wasn't a good live show, I wouldn't want to do it anymore. But the show was really good live, and it still had that energy. Even being older, that's you know, we're like, I don't know if we'll still have it, but we did. Yeah, I mean, there was a point where we were touring, you know, when we'd be touring a lot, we'd play festivals, and, you know, literally a quarter of the lineup would be from Williamsburg.
It's funny how places go through these. Like in this country, there's a couple of places like Bristol is really going through.
Yeah,
like everybody's from Bristol at the moment, right? In bands. And
but is that band Idols from there?
Exactly, I really like them. Great.
So, yeah,
and similarly, I feel like Williamsburg and places like Austin, they are like that, but they never seem to go away. Whereas these pockets, they have their time, and then a new place pops up.
Yeah, I remember Glasgow was like that.
Yeah, exactly.
For a while, then,
They continue. All the way through.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's interesting that way. I mean, I feel like a lot of people from New York were moving to Austin too, because New York became so expensive and Austin was relatively cheaper. But, you know.
But now that I think they're looking for somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like El Paso, I think. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah, quite possibly, actually. And so, what about yourself? So, when the Rapture decided to go on the indefinite hiatus, is that when you started to work with your new band, or did you take a bit of a break?
So Gabe and I, the core of the band, Maddie, who had been in the band for years, left before the last album we did, and so it was Gabe, Luke, and I. And Gabe and I both had wanted to kind of work in a studio and produce more, so we built out one in Greenpoint. Did a bunch of music, produced a bunch of stuff. I've been really busy, and just kind of dove into like making music more and staying off the road. I had a son, so I didn't want to tour as much. Yeah, so.
But then got involved in five things that could potentially
tour. And now all of a sudden I'm on the road. We'll see how that goes. I mean, it just started. it's been great. Everything's done really well. You know, been busy, but.
Yeah. Everybody that comes through these doors at the station, I interview maybe three bands a week. Like, that's everybody's dream to get to that point. And, you know, you're one of the few.
Yeah.
People, you know, I can probably name on two hands the amount of bona fide successful musicians that have that impact on people, and to have that impact on people long after you stopped working must feel amazing, right?
Yeah, it's super lucky. You know, it just is, and I think that's why we're playing shows again.
Yeah,
I mean, for me, it's a huge part of it. It's just, you know, we've always had like a new generation of fans and people, and going and being able to play, and like, you know, even our shows we've had, there's been a lot of people that have come up and been like, you know, always wanted to see you, never, you know, like, it didn't, because, you know, for us, like, 8-year break isn't that long a time, but, like, for a lot of, you know, people that might have discovered us at 16, they're like 24 now.
And, yeah,
like,
of course.
So, yeah, so, it's
and
been great.
if he wasn't necessarily signposting that he was coming to an end.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, we've got to go and see it. It's their last show. And it's like, oh, it stopped and they didn't know about it. So.
You never know with us. So.
Yeah, right.
It's always like, yeah, who knows how long we'll go. I mean, we don't, like I said, we don't really have any super set plans right now. So.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's so great, though, that you're in that position, you know?
Yeah, no, super lucky. I've been, I started playing in bands, like, actually, a little later, like at 18, but just for fun.
And then it
turned into a career.
Yeah. And were there other bands before the Rapture that you were in and you were like, we're going to make it, and then it didn't happen? Or were you like, oh, God, I don't know why we're doing this?
I never went into any bands thinking I was
going
to.
No, but like once it started going, did you get a good feeling about any of them?
You know, it's funny. Like, so this is how small world it is musically, but that band Poolside, the main guy in Poolside, played in a band with Luke and I before the Rapture called The Calculators in San Francisco.
That is a good name.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, and it was like total Gary Newman, New Wave.
Oh, right.
Yeah, we had like outfit, you know, white belts, like white ties. And we put out an album and EP, and then we toured, you know, the West Coast and one U.S. tour in a van, like similar road trip style to what you did. And it was going really well. And then, of course, it just, you know, like as bands do, they fall apart. And the Rapture came kind of out of that with Luke and I. Yeah, so.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming in, man. It's been a pleasure.
Great to be here, man.
Cheers, thanks. Thanks.
Sarah Hugh and Doc Two on FUBAR Radio.
Jason Mezza, welcome to the show, mate.
Thanks, man. It's exciting to be here.
I got to say, my favourite role that I've ever seen you in a low-budget film called Shifty. With Riz Ahmed and Danny, was it Danny Mays?
Danny Mays,
which is a wicked film for anyone who hasn't seen it, listeners and you two included.
It's a brilliant
little thriller, very underrated.
Yeah, that was a blessing, that one.
Jason pops up. I had no idea he was in it. I was watching it. He pops up about halfway through playing this kid called Malik, and he is wired. Like, he just jumps in a van and he starts talking like he's on speed, like a mile a minute for like 3 minutes. It's a hilarious performance. Really, really funny, edgy and strange. Yeah, just another reason to watch his work, really. So what's going on in a minute? What are you working on right now?
Well, you know, both sort of involved in Paul Whitehouse's Nurse.
And that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
That was sweet. I mean, I've always been a big fan of Paul Whitehouse. He's just like
kind of an honour, really, to be in something with him.
Yeah, and basically he plays 85% of the characters, so there's only a couple of us that come in and do. So it was a bit of when I got the phone call, that was a bit of an honour and stuff. And he's basically brilliant, and he's a genius. Yeah, and watching him at the read-through just literally go from character to character, it's a bit embarrassing, really. You're sort of like, I've got a lot of work to do. But yeah, so that was fantastic.
Is that the one that you guys were on together?
We weren't in the same scene, and like, they were very standalone scenes. And like Jason says, it was hard to get a role because Paul played everybody. You basically had to be either younger than him or black.
Yeah, so we did that, and then I've got a movie out called Legacy, which is like a party movie. It's basically like, I don't know if you've seen the movie Project X. They did this crazy party. It was an American movie.
Yes.
But it's sort of like a British version of that. And
there's a lot of pools in the trailer. I remember that. There's a lot of jumping into pools.
Yeah. This is a sort of a British version.
The pool needs to be heated.
Yeah. So, and you know, in Project X, I remember the trailer, they throw this sort of murk into the pool. Yeah, we couldn't afford to do that. But it's a lot of fun, though. I've seen the movie. It's really, really good.
Is there any type of roles that you would like to do like to take on that you haven't had the chance to just yet?
I mean, for me, it's all about characters and finding that, you know, like you mentioned Shifty, that was just an amazingly funny, well-written character that I could come in and just do something with. So for me, it's all about characters, really. And I love comedy, and I sort of love to be in stuff that, you know, you watch the news and it's quite depressing. So I think if I can be in entertainment that make people laugh and feel good, that's my big remit at the minute. Yeah. So at the minute, I'm just like, the search and stuff that I'm looking to do is comedy-based, and just because I want to make people smile, make them laugh. Yeah. So, yeah. Like anything, you have to be aware that you need to constantly improve. I'm always, like, you know, trying to be critical of the previous work, and you sort of want to take what you did and better it. So that's always, I think, setting yourself goals and making sure you know you've definitely not cracked it. So keeping that hunger, keeping that fire going. So I think that's probably the key thing that I take in. I just want to be better. I just want to just improve the craft.
Callum McSwiggan. Callum McSwiggan. On FUBAR Radio.
I'm joined by somebody I've been really, really excited to have on this show for quite a while now. It's the amazing Juno Dawson.
Hi, Callum.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good, and you have stalked me. This is weeks of preparation here. It's like, I mean, Callum, you need to relax. My God, stop it. You're outside my flat. Leave me alone.
I have been all over your Twitter recently, so if I've been clogging up your notifications with liking every single tweet, I do apologise.
No, I like that. That's good, because you're a blue tick, so I see you. So Twitter throws you at me. So I'm like, no, look, Callum thinks I'm funny.
You're blue tick.
Nobody else does.
I think you're very funny.
Thanks.
I must confess that I haven't read any of your YA books, but I really, really want to.
Oh, yes, start with Clean. Clean is the best one.
Tell me about Clean. Tell me about Clean.
Okay, I should do Clean Chat. I am pleased with Clean, and I wouldn't always say that. I'm not going to say which ones I think aren't my faves, because that doesn't feel very fair. But
sure.
Clean, I started it in the summer of 2016, and it was just there. You know, there was this girl, it's about a 17-year-old hotel heiress, kind of in your Paris Hilton mold. And she has this life of phenomenal privilege, but she's also a heroin addict.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts with her face down on the backseat of her brother's car, and he's abducted her in the middle of an overdose and is taking her to a private rehab facility.
Gosh.
And so she gets shut away to, well, to detox, to get clean. And through her detox process, it flashes back sort of Orange is the New Black style to kind of, so you can learn how on earth does a very wealthy 17-year-old girl
situation
end up there. And some people said, well, isn't that a bit ridiculous? And I was like, well, no.
Because it happens.
We've seen it happen, and we've seen it happen to girls
with very privileged backgrounds. Mm-hmm. So that's what it's about. And she makes, you know, I think some of the things that my novels have in common, there's always like a gang, there's always like a squad.
Yeah.
And she makes this sort of group of very unlikely friends while she's in the clinic. So people are calling it Gossip Girl Interrupted, and I think that's
I like
that's
that.
Fair.
I really like that.
Label.
Yeah, I think, yeah. And as well, I've read something about you having like being really passionate and wanting to be really inclusive of LGBT plus mm-hmm. characters. Does Clean have LGBT plus representation?
Yes. I mean, and they always will, because I've broken your table. I owe a lot to writers who came before me and sort of gave me those role models. And I've said this many, many times, that had there been more trans role models in the 90s when I was a kid, I would have come out 10 years sooner.
Yeah.
You know, there's no doubt in my mind, because I would have been able to figure out what it was I was going through. And so that's, I do feel a responsibility now. Now, what I don't feel a responsibility to do is to sort of write the same story every time, which is the coming out story.
Yeah.
And I think there are some great coming out stories out there. I know you've been doing some stuff with Love, Simon, which is a great example of the coming out story. I, with Clean, was interested to feature a trans character who has been out for a very long time.
Yeah.
Because I think the media in particular is very, very hung up on the make of a moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of the Caitlyn Jenner reveal.
Yeah.
And Kendall's the character, she's based on a real girl I knew who started secondary school as a girl, having been born and raised as a boy. And by the time I got to meet this person, she was so over it, because she'd been living as a girl for 6 years.
Yeah.
You know, no one was shocked anymore. You know, plot twist was over. So it was kind of like, well, what happens next? Mm. And so I was really interested to explore that with the Kendall character. And, you know, she's in this clinic because she has an eating disorder. She's decided she wants to be a fashion model, and she's basically starving herself to death. Mm. But that has nothing to do with the fact she's transgender,
yeah.
but also a lot to do with the fact she's transgender, because I think, you know, I can only speak for myself, but, you know, you enter into quite a strange relationship with your body when you're trans, I think.
Well, I know the statistics that Stonewall put out said that eating disorders amongst trans people are much, much higher percentage than any other group of people.
Yeah.
So it's quite fitting. But what I think is amazing that you're doing with that character is, you know, having a trans character but not making it all about their trans identity, and just, you know, showing them as a character. Because that's something we see so little.
Yeah.
I think any, you know, example of trans representation that I can think of, it has been all about the transition, it's been all about the aftermath that follows, it's been all about transphobia. And I think it's important to just see trans characters living their lives, because there are millions of trans people out there just living their lives, and it doesn't always have to be this, obviously that it comes with difficulties, but it doesn't always have to be this kind of drama, and it doesn't always have to be that way.
And increasingly, I mean, there's a lot of moral panic in the press about, oh, why don't somebody think of the children? But the thing is, what we're seeing now, we're sort of seeing the first generation of, dare I say it, trans youth are now trans adults.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if you were lucky enough, I wasn't lucky enough, but if you were lucky enough to be treated as a trans youth, and if you went on hormone blockers as a teenager, you never went through puberty.
Mm.
And so we have, and people out there like the singer Kim Petras and Teddy Quinlivan, the model, you know, they never went through puberty, so they just look like girls. You know, they've lived their whole lives of girls. So there's this criticism that, oh, you've lived as a man. These girls haven't. You know, they've been girls since they were, what, 9, 10, 11 years old. So, and this is, I think it's a brave new world. We're seeing a generation of trans people who have nearly always been trans, whereas I was kind of, I transitioned when I was 30, so, you know, it's kind of a slightly different thing. But, yeah, I hope people like Kendall. I mean, it's important to recognise that, you know, if you've been through gender transition, there's no way you're getting through it unscathed.
Yeah.
You know, it's absolutely going to hang over you. And whereas I think the character of Kendall would absolutely deny that being trans has in any way messed her up.
Yeah.
I think after you spend a whole novel with it, you realise, how could it not? You know, we're so demonised in society still. How can that not mess you up a bit?
And can we talk about the kind of the way that the press and the media have been kind of relentlessly attacking trans people? I feel like, I mean, I'm sure this has been going on for a long time, but I feel like last year, kind of last summer, I don't know what was the trigger, but suddenly it seemed like all the media, well, not all the media, but certain publications, who I don't even need to name, I think we know who they are, just suddenly
went
kind
mad.
Of
went mad and started attacking trans people. It was like they were all sat around the office going, okay, what shall we attack trans people for today? And it's seemingly been relentless, and I don't really understand why. What's your take on that?
I think the why is the big mystery. I mean, there's plenty of conspiracy theories, knowing there are some people very well placed in the media who clearly don't have a lot of time for trans people. Mm-hmm. And it's dangerous because, you know, the media is run by relatively few people.
Yeah.
And obviously, when you actually look at who owns the publications, very often a lot of publications are owned by the same overlords,
yeah,
as it were. So it wouldn't take much. And for me, it was more surprising, perhaps, that yes, there was the kind of the tone in the tabloids that you would expect, but there was also some very negative stuff in the press you wouldn't expect, including in more liberal press as well. And I'm not sure what that was about. We know there have been trans people since history has been recorded.
Yeah.
We know you can trace trans people back 100, 200. There's references in ancient Greek poetry and artwork. This is nothing new. But it does feel like possibly a memo went round the newsrooms about a year ago, which is, you guys, there's this new thing, transgender, and it is, the word used is relentless, and I think that's the right word, because I don't think there's ever been a case where so few people have caused so much panic, because actually we're still a very small minority.
Yeah.
And we're not particularly asking for the moon on a stick. We're asking
for basic rights.
For the healthcare and some basic rights, and the ability to move freely. And, you know, for ID, you know, it's important. You know, the first thing that I did, you know, I had to very, very quickly change my passport because I have to travel so much for my career. You know, and I'm very, very lucky in that we live in a country where I was able to get a new passport with relative ease. Mm. I mean, that's some of the political background at the moment. The government is proposing changes to something called the Gender Recognition Act, which was from 2004, which allowed trans people to change their birth certificates.
Yeah.
But that's kind of all it does. And there was only ever rules about that. And the system is ridiculous. Like, I haven't bothered. Like, having a birth certificate really isn't high on my priority list.
Sure, yeah.
So I just didn't bother, least of all because you've got to, like, gather up all this medical evidence and then apply. You sort of send it all off to this panel who never meet you. Mm. So it's not like they're actually judging you in person, and they kind of quite arbitrarily decide whether or not you get this new birth certificate. But because, you know, I've got a driver's license, I've got a passport, so a good deal of trans people just weren't bothering with this system that's supposed to be for trans people. So what the government proposes, okay, we'll make this system easier. So we'll make it so you can basically do it online, which is what I did with, like, my driver's license.
Yeah.
But this is causing a lot of trouble because people seem to think it's going to cause some sort of huge change. But of course it won't.
No.
Because if it was, this would already be happening.
Yeah.
Because there are no laws about swimming pools or changing rooms or gym locker rooms.
Yeah.
You know, it really is just a case of...
It's a societal construct, like...
There was basically, I think in 2010, being trans was considered a protected characteristic, which just means, you know, that, you know, it means we can be victims of hate crime.
Yeah.
It means, you know, that you can use the services. Like, I can't be denied services. Like, hotel users can't not let me stay because I'm trans. Things like that. And that does mean that, yeah, you know, I can't be ejected from a changing room, you know, because it's the same thing, in the same way that you couldn't eject a Jewish person or a black person from a changing room because it would be horrific.
Absolutely.
And so there are no specific laws about Topshop changing rooms. And yet, here we are, for some reason, Topshop changing rooms have become this huge media battleground. Well, and it is perplexing.
I haven't seen anything about the Topshop changing rooms. I didn't see this.
Yeah, Travis Alabanza, who is a gender non-binary performance artist, was challenged in Manchester's Topshop changing room because they were trying on women's clothes. And so I guess Travis assumed, well, I'm trying on women's clothes, so I should be in the women's changing room. But after Travis was challenged, Topshop quite rightly fired back with, well, actually, we've always had a gender-neutral top changing room policy because very often we close changing rooms. So there would have been times where men are redirected to a women's changing room. Because, after all, you are in a locked cubicle.
Yeah, what does it matter either
exactly,
way?
Yeah.
I mean, it's something that I have had myself. I've been into shops which are selling just women's clothes mm-hmm. exclusively, and I've wanted to buy an item of clothing, and I've gone to try it on.
Well, that's because women's skinny jeans are just skinnier. If you want skinny jeans, you buy women's jeans.
Absolutely. But, yeah, and then going to the changing room where it's just a women's store
yeah.
and saying, oh, I'm afraid you can't try that on. That's happened before, and I... It's such a strange issue. You know, like you said, they're locked cubicles.
Well, because it stems from a prejudice. Mm. And the prejudice is that trans people, and particularly trans women, because the media is not in any way interested in trans men, it has to be said. Trans men are invisible in the media, and that's a real shame. This prejudiced idea that either trans women pose a threat,
yeah.
which is, of course, nonsense. There's absolutely no... statistical evidence to back that up. There's not.
Because the whole bathroom thing, oh, we're worried that trans women are going to use their right to use the bathroom as a way to sexually assault people. Is this bizarre claim that people are making?
But based on nothing. It's never happened in the UK or the US. There are no recorded notions of a trans woman assaulting anyone in a public bathroom.
Yeah.
I think I'm wording that right.
The Jack Mate Show on FUBAR Radio.
We've got a lovely little chat. He should be Skyping us in any moment now with Jim Campbell from the Football Ramble. Jim, are you there?
I am. How you doing, mate?
I am doing just perfectly. I'm here with my friends Tom and Will.
Hey, Jim, mate. Will.
Hello, Jim.
He didn't say hello to you, Tom. He said
Tom.
Oh, did he? How you doing, Jim? You good?
Yeah, I'm not bad.
We've got a few questions coming up for you later. Trust me.
Excellent.
What have you been up to today?
Today I went for a driving lesson, even though I'm 33 years old, which is embarrassing.
I had one yesterday.
But no one died. So,
nice. But the thing is, have you taken your test and failed and you continue to do lessons, or have you not taken a test yet?
No, my test is coming up. I'm really rubbish at it, but I'm just sort of making myself do the test. I'm sort of assuming I'm going to fail that first test.
Oh.
And like I say, as long as no one dies, it's fine. I'll learn from my mistakes.
I would say you're going to be fine. You probably might be fine. I failed four times.
Yeah, I failed four times as well. Killing someone is a major, by the way. If you do kill someone on a test,
yeah.
It's definitely a major. Unless
you're saying that. And also, people keep saying there's a population problem. So which is it? I don't know.
Yeah, someone's telling porkies, aren't they? So, Jim, my sources have led me to believe that you're a comedian.
Yeah, you said that as if you were making air quotes around comedian.
No, not quite. So tell me, it's a cliche question, but we all want to know, how the bloody hell did you get into that?
It actually started in quite a strange way, because I'd always wanted to do comedy, and I was doing a creative writing course at university back when you didn't have to pay £1 million a term. And basically, everything I wrote was sort of comedy-based, so a friend of mine was putting on this gig, and she just booked me to do 5 minutes of stand-up on it, and Scroobius Pip and Kate Nash were also on the bill, like, before
that's
they
cool.
got anywhere. It's really, really odd. And it's at a place in Kilburn, in London, called The Good Ship, which is... There's a show there every Monday night at The Good Ship, and it's a brilliant gig. But it works because it's just comedy. They shut the pub for everything other than the comedy club because the stage is in this pit. But at this gig, it was just like a normal night. So you're in this pit and there's a pub going on around you that has no idea that you're there. So it was terrible. I died on my arse. I dropped the microphone. It was absolutely awful.
Yeah,
but I got enough laughs that I wanted to work out how to do it properly.
Nice.
So
nice. So did you not incorporate the mic drop into the routine at all?
It was too late by then. I'm on the way off stage. Didn't need the mic. All motor functions can cease now.
The stage name Butterfingers. You're like, oh fuck.
Yeah, that was more of a heckle.
Am I just getting this totally wrong, or was Kate Nash doing comedy?
No, Kate Nash was doing music.
You said that everyone on the bill was doing comedy.
Nobody else on the bill was doing comedy, which obviously makes me hard as well.
Nobody
else. Here's a guy who's never done comedy before doing stand-up. It was ill-advised from a booker's point of view.
I can understand
why. You've got to start somewhere, haven't you?
Can you remember any of the jokes on the first gig that went down particularly well, which got the laughs, or was that too much of an ask?
I did have a gag that I actually used for a couple of years, which I was happy about, that at least one gag remained. It was something about... Oh, yeah, it was about an honest Nike advert... and how that would feature a lady working in a sweatshop and then saying, oh, I can't possibly go on, blah, blah, blah. And then her line manager would pick up the trainer that she was sewing, slap her with it and go, just do it.
Oh, God.
I was quite happy with that in terms of, you know, I wouldn't use it now, but in terms of staying in there for a while, that was all right.
I quite like it. We might use that one next week.
We'll put that on T-shirt.
Yeah,
we'll do
it's
that.
It's recognisably a joke, and that did me. That was enough.
Nice. What's the best city to perform in? Is it London?
London is brilliant. It depends what you mean by best. I would say I'm kind of biased because I live here, but Brighton might be the best because audiences are just nice.
Right.
People are happy here, so they're happy to go and see comedy, and they'll sort of engage in it, and they'll be a little bit less sort of like, go on then, impress me, than London audiences can be.
Yeah. But
at the same time, because Brighton's the only place that's like that, it's a bit of a problem. So you might try and like do some new material, and all of it works, and you think
it's good, and then
hang on,
yeah,
take it elsewhere, and it just doesn't work. So I think London is probably the best in that the audiences are kind of the harshest critics. So you really got to up your game. So if you gig a lot in London, you tend to just get better from that.
Right. Okay.
Right. And Manchester's really good as well.
Have you played Norwich?
Actually, Norwich is really nice as well. I think people are happy there, aren't they?
I'm from Norwich. I'm not a Norwich fan, but I hear that a lot of comedians, I don't know, this just could be a myth, but I hear that a lot of comedians start their tour at Norwich, which seems to be true when I look at the posters, because people in Norwich are the most easily sort of, I don't know what the word is.
They bring all their family because they're all related.
Oh, shut up, Will. No, they're the most pleased. Easily pleased, yeah.
I can see that. Actually, you know what? When you go to... I know Norwich isn't remote, but it has the sort of... It's a big place that has the feel of a small place.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Norwich
is the kind of place that you get in ITV dramas where just everyone murders everyone else. Just every fucking week. Like, someone's killed someone and the butcher's going to solve the crime.
That's,
it's that sort of place.
That's
and
very
so
true.
In those sort of places, when something comes to town, any sort of entertainment... They tend to go mental for it. So maybe that's what happens in Norwich. I don't know. There's quite a good sort of art scene in Norwich as well, because the university there is pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, so. It's good. And like last year we had Radio 1's big weekend and everyone was just... it went mental. It was only a music festival and people were acting as if the Queen came and spray painted her name onto the floor. Tom's now handed me a note that says hecklers.
No, so. I thought you were talking away. I didn't want to interrupt. I was going to say, have you had any experience with hecklers on the road?
Yeah, I did Reading Jonglers last weekend, and there was a group of men on a stag.
Oh God!
As just failures.
Just dapper laughs there with a whole.
Yeah, absolutely that sort of thing, but except without like the sort of roll neck of contrition. Pretend they'd learned anything, and yeah, sort of heckling's actually pretty rare. It takes quite a lot of balls to step up and you know, pretend you're funnier than a comic that's got pre-prepared material and all that. So, but it doesn't happen that often, but when it does, it's just really annoying. But the thing is, most of the time, you'll get a round of applause from just telling someone to fuck off, because everyone's on your side. If they're not on your side, then you've done something badly, badly wrong.
Yeah. What's the worst heckle you've ever had?
Worst heckle I've ever had? Actually, there's not a specific one that sort of comes to mind, just because it's hard to pick an individual one out at my gig.
You just get too many.
Yeah, so many coming in at anyone. All abuse. It's like Twitter.
I imagine the kind of people that shout the heckles are, like you said, like kind of lads, groups of lads. Would you ever be slightly deterred from saying something back? Do you think they might be waiting for me outside?
Actually, weirdly, the opposite is true, because in some cases, like, I mean, I've called men who could absolutely panel me, to borrow a Scottish word. I've just called them cunts to their faces in a way I would never do.
Yeah.
But in the real world. And it's while I'm thinking it, like, while I'm doing it, even, like, you sort of go outside your own body and you're looking at these big sort of pig men thinking, I don't even realise what's going on here. This isn't all part of it. I'm calling you a cunt. Yeah. Why are you okay with it? Why do you think it's part of it? It's so weird.
Yeah. Maybe it's just gesturing, isn't it? It's just and he's been like, oh, well, I'm a big man. And then you called him that. He's like, okay, fair play to you, son.
Yeah, maybe it is. But the irritating thing is a lot of people think that is. Well, say a lot of people. It's very much a minority. It's like shit football fans. Hecklers are like shit football fans that ruin it for everyone.
Yeah.
They sort of think it's part of it, and they think it's the banter, and they're helping the comic and all that sort of stuff. But it's not. It's just annoying. Shut up.
What are you like when you go to a football game? Will you shout any abuse or not?
Well, I'm an Arsenal fan, so I don't really want to, I don't want to make any noise for anyone.
The Hannah Whitten Show on FUBAR Radio. I have with me the gorgeous Irish singer, songwriter, lady. Orla Gartland.
Lady.
Oh,
it makes me feel so old.
Oh, sorry. Woman. Female person.
I'll take it.
Yeah?
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm really good. How are you?
Yeah. Not bad.
To be here. These
you're just spinning around.
I know,
just
these
like
chairs are so high. I always feel really young when your feet can't touch the ground. But
that happens to me like a lot.
I feel
to be
like
honest.
A little toddler, but then I'm drinking and throwing. So.
I'll just be in just like a normal place, and I'll be like, my feet aren't touching the floor. This is
just
this
a
is
day
fine.
Of life for you.
Okay, it's time for a game. We ready?
I'm so ready.
We've got producer Nat. Okay, right.
It's a knick-knack.
It's time for innuendo or innuendo-n't. We need to buzz in. So with the sound from your mouth. I'm about to burp. That's not going to be my buzzing sound.
No. Well, what's
You've
your sound?
You've had that
then?
One anyway before. The
Have
burp.
We? But
I've done the burp.
I've done
Can someone burp on cue?
Yeah,
I can.
Really? Oh, yep. But Sorry. You had one brewing.
No, but I stopped that one. That was a new one. But I can't use the burp as a buzzer sound because it takes a while. So
yeah, and it's not instantaneous. Or so you just make it kind of like a...
There you go. That's your sound.
Cool.
Do that one again. Brilliant. And mine's going to be...
Ooh.
Just a cough.
Good.
Yeah.
Almost like disgusting.
Okay, ready.
Okay.
Ready.
Number one.
So wait, you're buzzing in when you have an answer?
Yeah, when you... Well, I just kind of buzz in.
Okay.
But like, just buzz in, like, when you have an idea if it's an innuendo or an innuendo.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then we can workshop what we think the meaning is.
Sweet.
Okay. Pocket wocket. Yes, Hannah.
I mean, innuendo. Is it a penis? Is it just a word? Is it just another term for penis?
It involves a penis, okay. But I would say that isn't an innuendo.
Okay.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
All right, fine.
So, what do you think it means, though? But it does involve, very much involves a penis.
Okay.
Pocket wocket.
There, I mean...
Would it be... So, if I was a male, and I... How could I phrase this? I wanted to have a little copper feel...
Mm-hmm.
And I had baggy tracksuit bottoms on, maybe I would go via the pocket for a sneaky...
But then that's sexual.
Yeah. It's not innuendo, is
that's
it?
A great...
But I just thought the pocket walker could be some kind of...
Masturbating about, through the pocket.
Yeah.
You're sort of right, but you're thinking like, less about yourself. Where is the penis? Where's the penis going? Where's it going on its travels?
On its travels?
Yeah.
So it's not static.
It's not in your pocket. What pocket is it in? Whose pocket?
Oh,
is
you've
the
got
penis
to put your penis in someone else's pocket.
Exactly.
What?
Exactly. It's
that's
when you
place,
when you place your penis in your friend's pocket without them knowing, of course.
Is it flaccid or erect? That's what I want.
That's just kind of like a.
It must be flaccid because if it's flaccid, it's like pointing downwards, and it would be really easy just to slide into a pocket. But, but if it's erect, then you'd have to like
never
bend
want
it.
Any of my friends to give me a pocket wocket. It's
no
like an adult version of a wet willy.
It's horrible. Wet willy. No.
I think you get a point there because you did bring in the pocket, penis in the pocket.
Okay,
so I'm gonna give you a point there.
Sweet beans.
Pocket wocket. Oh god.
Number two, master basting.
Master basting.
Basting.
Yes.
Is this one word?
One word, yeah.
I'm gonna say that it's not an innuendo, that it's actually just some sort of food preparation.
No, that's not right.
Is it just like wanking into a cake?
No. It's not a cake. Right,
not master baking.
It involves a specific time of year. Around
like
this
turkey,
time, actually.
Turkey basting.
Okay, so
what is it though? What's the time of year? What is the
Christmas.
Event? It's not Christmas.
Thanksgiving.
Yes, Thanksgiving. But what's happening? Where do you go at Thanksgiving?
To your family's house.
Right, so you're going to go to your parents' house. It's Thanksgiving.
Americans, help me. What do you do at Thanksgiving?
What have you left at home? What do you want to take to your parents' house, of course? But you've forgotten this particular...
Oh, your vibrator.
Yes, exactly. So
I've been there.
What
been
do you
there.
Then use when you get home? You haven't got the vibrator. There's something that's going on. It's Thanksgiving.
Oh, my gosh. You
know.
What meat do you have at Thanksgiving?
Turkey.
So what do you use with a turkey?
Oh, my God. I don't know enough about...
So,
turkey
like,
preparation.
You're literally talking about the turkey fat.
Something that you use to put into the turkey. The turkey.
Oh, flip. I know what it looks like, but I can't
remember.
Oh,
my God. Right. I think you know what I mean. It's the turkey baster. So
we could have guessed that.
Yes.
I need to Google what a turkey baster looks like.
This is when you come back to your family's house for Thanksgiving. I guess it could work for Christmas as well here. And
does
you leave
it?
Your vibrator at home, so you just grab the turkey baster and go to town, it says here.
Oh my
gosh.
Yeah.
It's just like a dropper.
Hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't vibrate.
No, it doesn't vibrate. No, it just sort of squirts stuff into a turkey. Oh. Okay, so vagina.
Oh, I see. You get the juice in it and you squirt the juice.
I don't know what juice you're squirting into your vagina.
Inside.
Though, I hate
sure,
it.
Maybe you just use it externally.
Maybe. Oh, because it's got air. Maybe it's the air that, from the top that you're pumping.
Oh, my God. So, yeah. No, that might be quite nice, though. Like, just the air?
Yeah, that is quite
it. On the outside? Well, anyway, I know what I'm doing this Christmas.
Well, maybe you'll get someone who listens to this, whoever your what Secret Santa is, can get you that. It's going to be a tenner for a turkey baster. Secret Santa for you.
Oh, dear.
Maybe we'll get you one on the show with a Christmas present.
Oh, my God. It'll be so on the level.
Live.
Ooh, is Hannah really into like a roasting?
Hannah's trying out the turkey baster.
I think I'm going to give you both a point there because you both kind of got various aspects of it, so it was good. Okay, so what about booty brows?
Booty brows.
Yes.
Oh. Is when you've got a hairy bum.
But are you saying it's...
Oh, wait.
What are you saying?
And you and don't.
Yeah, that is correct. It's...
It's not...
But it's not a hairy bum.
It's not...
Is it like a hairy lower back? So your bum's got brows.
No.
Stay home and chill. Keeping you company during the coronavirus.